Call to order the assembly meeting in the city of Burr, Blaineville, Alaska, March 25th, 2015, at 7:00 p.m. Pledge of allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Becky Rooney, after which if you remain standing for the invocation to be given by Renee Rohrt.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
O my God, unite the hearts of thy servants and reveal to them thy great purpose. May they follow thy commandments and abide in thy law. Help them, O God, in their endeavor, and grant them strength to serve thee. O God, leave them not to themselves, but guide their steps by the light of thy knowledge, and cheer their hearts by thy love. Verily, thou art the help, their helper and their Lord. Behold.
Thank you. So we have one ceremonial matter this evening. That's a certificate of service for City of Burr, Blaineville, Alaska presents a certificate of service to Beth Comstock for her service and dedication as member on the Nolan Museum Civic Center Board from October 2012 to March 2015. Beth is not in the audience, so she will be given that. Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Slate.
Here.
Persunka.
Here.
Rooney.
Here.
Decker. Powell.
Here.
Mitchell.
Here.
And Mayor Jack.
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Anyone got any amendments? Item 4, conflict of interest. Is there any conflict of interest? Item 5, consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve those items on the consent agenda marked 6A, 7A, 7B, 13B, and 13C.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Poll, please.
Assembly members Persunka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Lake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 8, borough manager's report.
I would like to have Marla go ahead and Marla Sanger go ahead and do the hospital report, the borough manager's report, and then I'll follow up with that.
Great. Thank you. Can you hear me? All right. Great. Marla Sanger, Wrangell, Alaska, P.O. Box 1646. Thank you. So I'm bringing mostly a financial update again this time so that you can kind of follow along with us as we are trying to navigate a journey that you first heard about when we had three things all at once that were very difficult. So where we're at today, when I look at the income statement that we have most recently, one of the things that we do is we like to look at this year over last because of what we've said about our budget and not feeling like it was necessarily completely the way we would like it to be. But first I'll start with the income statement and say that our total charges for both inpatient and outpatient were $836,191. The contractual allowances, which is what we don't get paid by insurance companies or Medicare, Medicaid, came to $131,000. $131,793. So when you take that away, our net patient revenue was $704,398. And operational expenses then exceeded that amount at $860,079. February we knew was going to be a difficult month. Because we usually 2 months from when your current experience happens, you can tell if you're going to have enough revenue or you think you will to cover your expenses. It doesn't take a lot of change in patient activity to make the difference. And so we knew a couple of months before that February would be a difficult month, and it was. We also, in addition then, so after we took that away, we had a loss of $155,681. And then there's some, we have some miscellaneous revenue, including some grant money, of $13,859 for a total loss of $141,822 in February. So in addition to looking at the month by itself, what I've asked Olinda to do, and this has been helpful to me, is look at year over year. So we looked at the 7 months, fiscal year 14, next to the 7 months of fiscal year 15 to see how things have changed from snapshot this year over last. And there are certain things that I really zero in on. For example, salaries, which is a very big expense for any business, but ours as well. We had more expense in this year of $203,895, which is offset a little bit like by a decrease in benefits of $41,960. Offset even more by professional fees. And I, if you'll recall, when we staff Wrangell Medical Center and we don't have enough permanent full-time people, we bring in traveling nurses and contract workers. And so when I'm talking about professional fees, those are expenses for those things. And we actually spent less by $478,852. So that way more than made up for the increase on our salaries. And it, to me, it, I believe that it indicates that we are moving in the direction we want to go, which is fewer contract workers and travelers, more permanent full-time workers. Then travel, we saw a decrease of $13,492 over the prior year. Utilities, decrease of $20,941. Phone was down $8,307. But the things that went up, which we would have expected, were our insurance. Our general insurance was up by $5,063, and malpractice was up $28,014. And that's because going back 2.5 years, probably 3 years now, when there were, when I arrived, there were still sort of the tail end of two lawsuits and an appeal and things like that. Those things caused our insurance premiums to go up a lot, because there was quite a significant insurance payout. So we'll be paying that for the rest of this year. After we are now having very low negative experience, so it will eventually reset and come back to a more normal level. And then along with that, our legal expenses were also up over the previous year's same period of time. So for fiscal year 14, just to summarize, we had a, our income was $6,251,820. And over fiscal year 15, What I'm telling you now is about the change, the difference from year over year. The difference between 14 and 15 was a total of a decrease of $322,719. So spent in fiscal year 14 versus 15, a little bit less in 15 by $322,000. Our revenues were up. Our contractuals were significantly up. And those, again, are those things that we have to deduct from insurance payments. So that's basically our sort of state of where we're at right now, with the exception of our cash. And our current cash position is we have $521,807 in the bank. That's so far this month. But in February, we had $574,374. And by the end of March, we'll probably be similar to that. And how that compares with the rest of the months of this fiscal year, in July we had $514,704. Our highest month we had, and that was in December, we had $726,534. And our lowest month, which was the month when we first came to talk with you all, was $123,373. So we're back to where we've, in a more stable place, but still watching things very closely. We continue to have new challenges. We had, as you'll recall, we have the Medicare cost report that gets done at the end of every year. And we expected to get money back from that because we had gotten a payment during the mid-year reconciliation. But instead, we had to pay $200,000 and some change. That was a very big shock to our system. And we thought, okay, you know, we survived that. We're moving on. But what happened next, every now and then, they do an audit a few months after the cost report is reconciled. And in our case, what happened there was we had quite a lot of patient activity from when the audit was done until they did the audit, which means that it has a dilutional effect because Medicare pays according to how busy we are. So we had more patients, which means that what they would pay per day went down. So that meant they now had a finding that we owed them more money. So we had to pay another $108,000. And we just got that news. That's just hot off the press. So it is the way that it works, and it's difficult to prepare and be ready for that, but that is the way that it works. On the good side, as you also probably remember, we were fortunate in a way to have gotten some advances from Medicaid, and that's because their billing system, or not their billing system, but their payment system, Xerox, was very dysfunctional from the very beginning, and they acknowledged it. And every other state that's had Xerox has struggled with the same thing. So they weren't able to pay us, even though they knew they owed us money, for a long period of time because they just couldn't reconcile the statements and really be clear about what they were paying for and when. So while everything was on hold, some of the hospitals in Alaska actually went without any money from Medicaid for months. And it nearly took them down. In our situation, the CFO that we had then took advantage of an opportunity to get advances. The advances allowed us to remain more stable. I thought at the time that they would just then, when they were ready to pay us, they would just subtract the amount of the advances from what they paid us. But that's not how it worked. Instead, they wanted to go about their normal payment process, which hasn't quite returned to normal, but it's better than it was, and then have us just pay back the advances. And it was quite a bit of money. It was because they owed us a lot of money. So the advances that they'd given us was $728,000, and of that, we only still owe back $10,946. So that was a success in the face of the other tight times to be able to get those advances paid off. And that's what we're trying to do, is just get everything paid off that we have to pay, and then when we have income, it's you know, we're able to move ahead. We had a pretty quiet month in February, so in April, we may have a similar kind of situation as today, and March so far also hasn't been as busy as what we would probably be normally in the acute care side. The long-term care side is full, and that is actually where most of our operating revenue comes from. So that's where we're at today. And without Olinda being here, I probably don't have a lot more information to offer, but if you have questions, I will do my best, and if I can't answer them, I will bring back the answer when I have it.
We had a revenue currently on the books of $521,820,000. What is our current liabilities?
Oh, I don't have that with me right now, so we can get you that information.
Okay. We have a board meeting tomorrow night for the mm-hmm. hospital, correct?
Yeah, we'll have it in the board packet.
In the board packets, mm-hmm. and those will be out fairly quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they actually were ready today. I think that they're in the office. You could probably get it tomorrow.
Okay. And what's the, can I ask you a question here? Thank you. Where are we at with the CFO hunt?
Right now we're not actively searching. We are doing pretty well with Olinda's willingness to continue. And she had offered that she could stay for another year. Right now, things are stabilizing. She knows the billing practices. She knows all the Medicaid and Medicare rules, and she's helping our staff who really lost some ground when they didn't have leadership that knew how those things work. So we want to give them a chance to really stabilize well before we bring somebody new in. It's not to say that if we didn't hear about a good candidate, we wouldn't pursue it. We would, but we aren't quite ready to make a transition that big yet.
So we're not looking currently for anybody?
We aren't advertising, but like I say, every now and then I'll hear something, and if we hear about a potential candidate, we would for sure pursue it.
When is Linda, follow up on that, Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead.
When is Linda, when is her contract end?
She had offered to continue for another year, and that would be around, I think it would be around January.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further questions?
And if there aren't other questions, I did have a couple other things if I might share. They're not financial.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So I wanted to tell you that I had a very good opportunity to meet with several of our legislators at the Hospital Association Legislative Fly-In. I had small group meetings with some of them. Myself and about three other people met with Senator Stedman. We had a chance to talk about our organizations. I was able to talk about our need for a new hospital, kind of where we're at today, what's gone on over the last year or so. And he seemed very interested, same with Representative Ortiz. We also had a chance to meet with members of the Finance Committee and have a pretty zesty dialogue about Medicaid reform and expansion. And I even had a little bit of time with the governor. So I felt like it was time well spent. I had planned not to go because of the expense, but I was able to use some frequent flyer miles and economize in some other ways. So it worked out to be cost effective, and it was a really very good meeting. So I wanted to share that with you and also remind you that I have some invitations. Some of you have received them already. You have, Kim, and you have, Jeff. This is about that save the date I talked about before, April 2nd. It's when we're going to hear from Dennis McMillan, who's the CEO of the 4-Acre Group. The 4-Acre Group works with funders like the Rasmussen Foundation Mental Health Trust to provide services, including a pre-development program, which Dennis believes we would qualify for. The purpose of this session that you're invited to on April 2nd, and there's two sessions, so that you can either come in the afternoon from 10 to 1, I think it is, or you can come in the evening, is to just re-engage the community in what's going on in our healthcare delivery system, what we're trying to do to improve it, move it forward, and again, our need for a new hospital. Dennis will also be talking about sustainability of our healthcare delivery system and other aspects of our community. So it won't be just about healthcare. I think it'll be very interesting, and I hope that each and every one of you will join us.
So as we're re-engaging the hospital process, there was a point where we had shelved it for a bit while we were trying to take care of financial matters. We've obviously re-engaged this. We're meeting with the McMillan Group, and mm-hmm. I know the gentleman from 4-Acre flew down to meet with people as well. Is there any plan, or I guess, have we investigated whether the city, if the vote that we took on the previous plan will still hold water for plans going forward, or are we going to re-engage the public for any future plans for a hospital, a new hospital in the community, or a replacement hospital in the community? Have we thought about that, and what does that process look like, and when do we engage that process?
I could probably answer that. The vote that was taken was that the people approved that to investigate or to build a new hospital to be paid for with revenue funds. There wasn't any specific plan, hospital plan, or concept or anything that was a part of that vote. And as that vote is still valid at this time for whatever concept we come up with, up to, I can't remember the exact dollar amount it was, but it was, I think it was $23 million, but that is just off the top of my head. It may not be correct, but it was up to that amount.
So the community endorsed up to $23 million for a replacement hospital?
Yeah, that's, now, don't.
No, I understand that.
Hold it to that dollar amount, but that's the way it went, and that vote is still valid. I mean, the people approved it.
And are we still thinking that the hospital will be built within the within that parameter, give or take a million or two, I'm sure? Is that still the plan, is to work within the parameters of what the community endorsed through the vote?
Well, we don't know for sure what the dollar figure will be. I believe that by the time the design was all done, it was substantially more than that. We actually think that we, and it was bigger than what was originally thought of. We think we might not need to be as big or as expensive. We don't know that for sure. Part of what pre-development will do for us is do some help with that, with the feasibility study and then the design work. But it's our desire to optimize, you know, the building by way of highly efficient, not necessarily large. And also, if we were able to be positioned on the same, you know, platform as the AICS building, we would already achieve some efficiencies that we lost when the buildings are no longer together. But there also might be some shared space that we can utilize. So we're hoping that we can come in with an even more cost-effective proposal when all of this is said and done. But if we can't go too far with the planning, even though we do have a very good planning group at the hospital, that's not just hospital people. Jeff is on it. We have Don McConaughey as a patient advisor. We've got some AICS representation, our board chair. And that group did not want to continue with the earlier design that existed. And we aren't required to, because all those contracts are now resolved. So the hope is that by working together with AICS, we can create even more economies of scale and efficiencies. It's not just the cost of the building that matters. You don't want to create a building that's very inexpensive, but then it costs a lot of money to operate it because you haven't thought ahead to the annual costs over time. So that's part of the equation too.
And I'm just thinking strictly from a standpoint of the Borough Assembly having, we've had a vote in the community for X amount. And so, you know, if we exceed that amount, we would need to go back to the community.
That was for amount of a USDA loan.
Just for the loan?
Just for the loan, right?
Yeah, Kim just looked it up and it was 24,000. 24 million. Or 24,000 would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
24,700, and it was specifically for USDA.
So the community approved a loan from USDA for 24
right.
million.
And one thing I will say on that, there was about, we had, I think, $5.8 million of grant money that we were able to use for engineering and all the other stuff. So when you look at the whole dollar amount, that would have been closer to
$30 million.
Mm-hmm. So
that sounds closer to the
and
number.
Some of the, obviously, because it was a modular construction, some of the engineering and stuff that was done is out the window. So
really what the community approved was a loan from the USDA for $24 million.
24.7, yeah.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Any
anything
further
else?
Questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have anything further to report?
A couple things. I think most of you, I sent an email from, that actually came from George Woodbury concerning a proposal by him to at least shoot in the dark here about putting some of the Tongass land into the state ownership to be managed by the state. I don't know how that would go over, but anyway, if the Assembly wanted to have me write that letter and send it to the powers to be, I would be glad to do that. If there's objection to that, I obviously will, but...
When I read that letter, the concept on it sounded good. It sounded like it could really create some jobs and resources, but my concern is with the state cutting back, are they going to have the people at the state level for service available to be able to manage it and run those contracts?
It sounded like there would be money generated for the state for that, and maybe that's where they would be able to pay those people to do that. So.
Go ahead. I'm strongly opposed to that, just strictly because we wind up, as soon as it's transferred over to the state, we lose a lot of our control over how much cutting is actually done on the timber. It can be shipped out and around overseas, and so we would lose the resource with minimal. The only cut made would be to drop it and put it into the logs to ship off, and I'd like to see far more work stick around than what would happen. I believe that if it's put to the state, we'd see like we had over at St. John's, which is workers brought in from down south. They drop it, it goes on a barge. We don't even see people except to fly back to Washington State through our community. So those logs don't go to any local mills, and I would really prefer to see us have a better plan than just turn it over to the state.
Any further questions, comments? Do you have anything further?
No. So I'll just do anything until I'm directed to. So.
Good point.
A couple other things. As you know, the state is moving along in their budget process, and you've heard from the school that oftentimes a lot of the things that we hear are not until the last couple days, and so we're kind of waiting like they are. As what we know now is revenue sharing for next year is going to only be down about $25,000. The next year's cuts will be in the increments of a third, a third, a third. Because it was forward funded for 3 years, so next year is not the cut year, the big cut year. So that's good news, at least for one more year. The bad news is our community jail. Right now, we'll lose about $352,000. That not only, and that's the funding this year is $591,000. It costs just a little over $600 to run it, and so a cut of $352,000. And the bad thing about that is not only the losing the jail and the jobs there, but those people also are the 911 dispatchers. So, so we're looking at that. That's probably the main thing that we're. There's some other little things that we're looking at that aren't going to be as big a hits, but. That's probably the biggest one for the coming year. On the federal level, I talked a little bit about secure rural schools, that there is something looks like going to be attached to a bill. So if we did get that funding and knew about that soon, that would certainly be a boost for, you know, it's like kind of like get through one more year and hopefully you've gone through several years, but I think we all know that the state it's going to be a long dry spell before there's any money coming out of the state. And even after the oil prices may come back in, you know, multiple years here, the state's going to take a while to recover from that. So even when that goes up, they're going to have to, refurbish their reserves and do things that need to stabilize them. Let's see, we've got several projects going on. Shoemaker Bay design is going on. We're working with the Corps of Engineers. We were selected from the Corps as one of three in the state smaller projects to look at. What we're working on the Corps with is a breakwater system that would protect the Shoemaker Bay Harbor entrance. The way it is now, the westerly winds and north winds come right into the harbor and slam the dock system. So. We'll be working with them to see how the two of us can work through that. Wood Street, we're getting ready to look at maybe putting that out to bid this year. That's the street that goes up by Alpine up to AICS. We've had a grant of $1 million to do that. The design is pretty much done. And initially, we were waiting to do that street because it was going to be a modular built with the hospital. And now that that, and there were these huge, heavy things going to be transported, we didn't want to put that street in a huge turning radius, so we didn't want to put it in and then have it tore up. So we waited until, you know, we found out that is not the current plan. And also the grant will expire, I think we've got at least a year or maybe a little more on that. So we're looking at getting that out to bid, but we're also kind of planning that to see, it might not go till next year because we're trying to plan that when there's a paver in town to utilize the, and Evergreen should be worked on next year. So they will, there will be a paver in town. So we may either do that this year or next. We're still looking at that. The Baylor, I think at your last meeting, we bagged that because of the $50,000. Carol Rushmore was actually talked to several granting agencies and has found some federal money. So there is still a possibility, and that looks like maybe one of the things they may fund. So she's found a little small pot of money there, so we're investigating that. We're not quite sure where that's going, but and then also we have there's eight city lots that are currently, we put out a little quote thing for surveyors, and Greg Schaft or R&M Engineering got the low bid. We had bidders from around the region and actually someone from Anchorage. But anyway, they'll be doing the surveying, and as soon as that's done and that plat's approved, then we can get those lots out for sale. Julie, I know, is interested in the swimming pool funds. We're working with our investment person that does with Morgan Stanley that does our permanent fund, and we'll bringing an ordinance back to the assembly, hopefully at the next meeting, to approve an ordinance, go through that process, and then for the guidelines of how that should be invested. But we believe that this is money that was voted on by the people to be there forever. So we'll put into place something that we can make a little more money on, hopefully. It'll be a little more conservative to start with than the permanent fund we have, but along the general same guidelines. So we think we can squeeze some more money out of that than what we're doing now, which isn't going to be hard to do, I don't think, hopefully. The city's budget is going along on task here. We'll bring you a balanced budget one way or the other, so without raising taxes. So I don't know what that means yet, because I don't know what else the state's going to do, but that's the plan, and we hope to preserve all the current city jobs in doing that. And that's, anyway, the goal. We'll see how that goes. But it's going to be more, it's going to be harder and harder each year we go along with the state's situation, and hope everybody knows that. We're going to have sometime in the next couple weeks, I'm going to have a workshop with all the city employees and kind of give them the State of the Union address here about the finances of what to expect in the years to come, and, you know, just be prepared for some bad times, because it's inevitable. So hopefully this next year we can get through it without too much pain, but I think we need to start doing that now. I think Mark mentioned that in the with the school board, and Steve, I think you did too. It's something we've already started looking at things. We've had a couple capital things we bagged and decided not to do. We've cut back travel and all kind of other things, that small things that we think we can do, and all those nickel and dime things add up to sometimes a job. So we're doing what we can, but we'll bring something to you middle of April, probably a draft budget, and then we'll kind of see what the legislature finishes up with, and then like the school will have a draft revision there, and then come up with something, final proposal.
Well, borough manager was seeking direction on that letter, yes or no on that?
No for me.
Should we do a show of hands? Do you want to do a show of?
Just do a show of hands, yes? No?
That's fine. Can I ask a question for Jeff? Just, we didn't get any update on the Thorne sale or how the bid process, or not the bid process, the rotating contractor program is going?
The rotating contractor, I'll be honest with you, we've kind of stalled that process. We were going pretty good. The assembly approved the policy. The attorney, he was given the task to bring, come up with a contract that we could have someone sign, and then for every job they did during the year, it would apply to all the jobs. And I don't know if there's miscommunication or what, but he come back with one that was written to do each time they did a job. Well, if we had a carpenter come in to patch a sheetrock in the wall, you don't want to have to go through a contract, and that's all Kim would be doing is to manage this thing. So I went through it and roughed through it to change it to make it so it would apply to any and all jobs. And then after I kind of once through it, I give it to Amber, because she does, that's what she's been doing for us over the last, other than when she was at the Parks and Rec, but doing that exact job, and she's more familiar with that than I am. But her problem is she's brand new at her job. There's some deadline things that she's trying to get out. She's also trying to help Kate at the pool train her. So it's just bogged down a little bit. So we hope to, once we get that done, we'll advertise in the paper and get going. But
I think we're almost there.
No, I do too. It's just we're not. But we've been almost there a couple times, but that's been the holdup. Okay. So, and what was the other?
Thorne sale.
Oh, we did get word, I believe today, and I think I forwarded it to everybody, that all the lawsuits were dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, I don't know if the groups that filed the original lawsuits against the sale, what their next action is and what they may do. I don't know any more than that.
Will we get we paid some money to this lawyer. Are we going to get a write-up of what took place and what services they rendered? And
they had a, well, as far as the ruling and stuff, there's a 25-page thing, and we can get that to you about, you know, what all that is. That's what I have. But any other thing the assembly would like to have, certainly ask, and I'll see what we can do to get it. So.
Okay, thank you.
I think he was asking about what services was provided for our money.
Okay, we can.
Is that correct?
Correct.
No, we can ask that question.
And since it's been thrown out, are we going to get a bit of a refund, I guess, is my bigger question. Well, they're not taking it to the mat, so we paid $5,000. I think we're in a position where we need to look at every penny and where it goes, and I wouldn't mind a bit of that money back.
There's still the option. They have an appeal option. So at this time, I don't think that's a possibility.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything further?
Nope, that's it.
Any other questions or comments? Borough clerk's file.
Other than what's in my report, I don't have anything.
Okay. Item 10, Mayor Assembly Reports and Appointments. Do any assembly members have any reports?
Just want to point out the boys up in state did our community proud. I was up there with them, and I really want to mention Coach Stokes and Coach Clark did a fantastic job. And I really appreciate all the hard work they put in with those boys this year. And those kids really represented this community. And they won the Sportsmanship Award and the Academic Achievement Award and came in fourth place after a heartbreaking loss in their first round against the number one seed team, who went on to win the whole tournament. So really, my hat's off to Ray Stokes and 30 plus years of coaching in our community. You can't ask for a greater commitment. And I don't know how he does it. He's still sleeping on ferry floors, transporting back and forth with these kids, and hardly complains at all. So I really appreciate that. Second thing is SEPA meetings are coming up tomorrow, starting tomorrow, and everybody is welcome to come and attend. We're at the Nolan Center, so.
Do you know what time those are?
Yeah, I do. I wrote it down here. We are starting at 12:30 tomorrow and then 9 a.m. On Friday.
Anything else? Item 10B, appointment to fill a vacancy on the Planning and Zoning Commission. There were no letters of interest for that position. Is anybody on the assembly interested in doing that?
I think Clay raised his hand.
Did you raise your hand, Clay?
Your opposition.
Go ahead.
Give it a try.
Go ahead.
He's got his hand up.
No, I don't.
I saw it go up.
I saw it go up too.
No. No.
He's a scared cake.
I'll keep advertising.
Keep advertising. Item 10C, appointment to fill a vacancy on the Nolan Museum Civic Center Board. Didn't receive any interest, letters of interest on that either. Does anyone from the assembly have an interest on their board?
And that board only meets quarterly. So.
Yeah, that's just a quarterly.
Do my part.
Think about it. Shoot me a letter.
Oh, okay. Advertise for that one also. Appointment of one member of the assembly to the code review committee. Who has an interest in that? Daniel and I are already on that, so. That kind of limit.
That looks like it ought to be.
I feel represented.
I think we can function.
I think we can. Okay, that takes care of that.
I think you should do it, Steve. No, I don't.
Moving on. Item 11, persons to be heard.
There are no persons to be heard.
No persons to be heard. Item 12, unfinished business. First item, 12A. Proposed ordinance number 893 as amended. An ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending Title 10, Public Peace, Morals and Welfare of the Wrangell Municipal Code to add a new chapter 10.18 on abuse of 911 system and to amend certain sections of chapters 10.32 and 10.36 relating to weapons and discharge of firearms. This is a first reading as a reintroduction as amended. There were too many changes to proceed, so better to go back to another public hearing. And it was postponed from the February 10th meeting, regular assembly meeting.
Make a motion to approve Ordinance 893 AM as amended by the Code Review Committee in the first reading and move to the second with a public hearing to be held April 14th, 2015.
I'll second it. Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Proposed ordinance number 895, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and the Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 3.30.090 of the Wrangell Municipal Code relating to the Board of Directors of the Southeast Solid Waste Authority to add provisions for an alternate director. This is a second reading.
Move to approve ordinance number 895.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Proposed ordinance number 896, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending Title X, Public Peace, Morals and Welfare of the Wrangell Municipal Code to add a new chapter 10.46 to prohibit the consumption of marijuana in a public place and establish a penalty for violation. This is a second reading.
Move to approve ordinance number 896 as amended.
Second.
You want to? Clarify that.
Well, it says my recommended action. I'll leave it as amended. Move to approve. Kim, what do I need to do? Just reread it?
No, that's.
Move to approve ordinance number 896.
Okay. Which he did.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Second, am I okay?
Yep, you're good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Discussion?
It's been seconded.
Do we have a second?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
Yep. Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yes.
I've had some community members contact me on this with some questions and concerns and interest in it. And also reading what was sent out around to the borough assembly members about a committee. I would like to, I'm not sure how to do it, but I'd like to see it go to a community committee that would go over it further with recommendations. And I'm not sure if we want to move too quickly before the state finishes up on everything. I don't know if there's a compelling reason why we need to, but I'd like the community. There's some strong feelings both for and opposed, and it might be worthwhile. I know there's at least one person who contacted me is interested in being on a committee, and I don't know if that's something that we can do within this process, Mr. Mayor, or not.
The way I'm reading this is just for public consumption.
Right.
Which is already in the bill that was passed at the state level. All we're doing is picking it up as a city ordinance so that if the police department writes a citation for that, the money goes to the city and not to the state. It doesn't have anything to do with what the other cities are dealing with as far as committee, which is sale and production and testing and everything right. That goes with that. So I would agree we need, when we get into that part of it, we definitely need to form a committee and get citizens' input. But right now, this is already law at the state level, and all we're doing is making it, bringing it down to the city.
The second part of what you said there, I think it's premature that you could be going into any committees because we have no idea what the legislature is going to do here yet. And until they act, what this is being done under emergency regulations by the Alcoholic Beverage Control Commission, which is right now the people that are tasked with enforcement. And they have adopted emergency regulations, and this ordinance is basically worded based on their regulation. The definition of public places, I believe, is word for word, if the attorney is correct, that it's word for word from what they've adopted. So it's, you know, like Daniel said, it's kind of, this is ordinance is kind of a housekeeping thing, and because it's already illegal, we're not making it illegal. It's already illegal to consume the public. Yeah.
I think the concern, and I'm trying to represent some other people's concerns, so I don't know if I'm doing it correctly. I hope I am. But this idea of outdoors on private property adjacent to a public place, do we address that? So that's now without the consent of the owner or person in control thereof.
That's the owner of the private property.
So if someone comes to my house and I have a public street in front of my house, and they want to smoke drugs in my house, and I say it's all good, then
they're good.
That we're good.
You're good. If you say no, then they're in violation.
Oh, I see. Okay. So it kind of gives me out and out as a public, as a homeowner.
The property, it's a property owner's discretion kind of thing.
Okay.
If that's the way I understand it, is that your interpretation, Doug?
It is. And it's also that you can't stand here in Bob's parking lot and say, well, this is a private parking lot, so you can't tell me what to do unless Bob says it's okay.
Okay. I think that will answer the questions.
Any further discussion? Call vote, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 12C, or 12D, proposed ordinance number 897, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 8.02.010 of chapter 8.02 of the Wrangell Municipal Code to change the admission rates for the museum's Civic Center. This is a second reading.
I move to approve ordinance number 897.
Second.
Third. Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Can I get who seconded?
Take your pick.
Okay. Assembly member Mitchell.
No discussion? Call vote, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. That's all of old business. Moving on to item 13, new business. 13A, proposed resolution number 03-15-1314, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for the new job description for the permanent part-time collections clerk.
Move to adopt resolution number 03-15-14 that creates a new permanent part-time position in the finance department.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yes.
The only question I had is Jeff is doing a cost sharing out of his, you know, you're basically giving up some funds from your, and we may have answered this before, but if you leave in a year, will that hamstring us with rehiring the city manager position? That we have taken this money away from it, or you feel we're good on that?
When you hire a new city manager, each one of them kind of negotiates their own whatever deal it is. My gross pay was substantially more than, say, Tim's.
Okay.
But I don't have any benefits.
Okay.
He had insurance, retirement, and all that, and I just chose to get this, you know, roughly the same amount of money in a different manner. But depending on which manager you would get after me, you know, all of them, depending on who you want and what they can rake out of you, they all have different amounts or different packages that they may want. Parts may be more important than others. So,
Mayor,
go ahead.
I think by the time that all happens, we'll know whether this position is going to pay or not. So we can readdress the position at that point.
That's a good point.
Good point.
Okay, thank you.
Does that mean you're saying I'm going to be here for a while? Careful now.
You didn't read that?
We're not letting you go.
Any further discussion? Hold, please.
Assembly members Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13B and C were taken care of under consent agenda. 13D, proposed resolution number 03-15-1315, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for the delegation of authority to its city manager to execute agreements related to the Southeast Alaska Power Agency electric revenue improvement and refunding bonds, series 2015, that are in a form substantially similar to those described in this resolution.
Move to adopt resolution number 03-15-1315 relating to the SEPA series 2015 bonds and city delegation.
Second.
Bill moved and second. Any discussion? Call vote, please.
Assembly members Cowell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13E, proposed resolution number 03-15-1316, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, repealing resolution number 10-14-1306, and reinstating the prior job description for the custodian light maintenance position.
Move to adopt resolution number 03-15-1316 that repeals previously adopted resolution number 10-14-1306, updating the custodian light maintenance position.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
Want me to explain it? The maintenance, light maintenance custodial position at the swimming pool is a union job. And we are required to, well, first of all, whenever we have a change and someone leaves a position, just as matter of practice, we review the job description to make sure that it's still current before a new person comes in, because over time things change. The person that left that position, when asked, they said, well, there's a couple things that would be handy to have in there. It didn't in any manner, we felt, change what the person actually did. So we brought that before the assembly, and we had some turnover and some things, and it was probably my fault because I'm the one that, of all the other people that were turning over, probably didn't know that maybe that was a requirement of the union. Anyway, so it didn't get sent to the union, so we approved it, not thinking, and we looked at it, we didn't think it was any more responsibility, any more duties, or that same person has been doing the same thing since the pool opened kind of thing. So anyway, then the union gets a copy of it and they say, well, we believe that that person under the new job description deserves more money. So we could have done one of two things. We could have given more money. And of course, in the time of the situation we're in with the state, and we're just trying to hold the line there. The second thing is we didn't think there was any change as far as what that person actually is going to be doing. And so we elected to bring it back here, just repeal the new one, go back to the old job description because it wasn't that much different. They would operate it, that person would operate under that. And if we had gone to the union to start with and they had brought up the same subject, we just would never have brought it on to the assembly. But unfortunately that happened, and now to get back to where we were, this is what we have to do. So.
Any questions, comments? Call vote, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. That concludes the new business. Item 14, attorney's file. We have a copy of that. Item 15, executive session. We do have an executive session to discuss the Swan Lake expansion project funding.
Move to go into executive session to discuss Swan Lake expansion project funding in the imminent, which the immediate knowledge would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the borough.
I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Just as a matter of the record, I have asked Clay Hammer to go into the meeting with us since he is a SEPA board member. Poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Slade?
Yes.
Chrisanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. We will recess into executive session at 8 p.m. Reconvene the assembly meeting at 8:32. Anything further?
Nope.
Okay. And the last item on our agenda is adjournment at 8:33.